Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A couple had two boys, ages 8 and 10, and these boys were extremely mischievous. They were always getting into trouble, and their parents knew that if there was any mischief that had occurred in their town, their sons were probably in the middle of it. The boy's mother heard that there was a pastor in town who was rather successful in disciplining children, so she asked if he would speak with their boys. The pastor agreed, but he asked to see them individually. So the mother sent her 8-year-old to see him the following morning, intending then to send the older boy in the afternoon. The pastor was a rather large man with a booming voice. He sat the younger boy down and he sternly asked, "Where is God?" The boy's mouth dropped open, but he made no response. The pastor repeated the question in an even sterner tone, "Where is God?" Again, the boy made no attempt to answer. The pastor got to his feet. Shaking his finger in the boy's face, he bellowed, "Where is God?" The boy screamed and bolted from the room. He ran directly home and dove into his closet, slamming the door behind him. When the older brother found him a few minutes later, he asked, "What happened?" The younger brother, gasping for breath, replied, "We're in big trouble. God is missing, and they think we did it." Where is God? Well, in the Bible, there are lots of answers for that question. Where is he? Well, the first thing we learn from the Bible is this. God is everywhere. Just like Kelly pointed out, we've got a big $10 word for it, theological word. Omnipresence. He's everywhere. That's what's being talked about in Psalm 139, where it says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there also. You're everywhere. We can't escape from you, God." That's a lesson that Jonah learned when he decided he didn't want to obey God and he went the opposite direction to Tarshish. He thought God would never find him there. But God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's all. Wherever we go, he's there. And then on a more personal note, the Bible also says, God is forever with me. And we see that over and over again in Deuteronomy 31. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And Jesus said right before he went up to heaven, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And we see in Hebrews 13, it says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Why? Because God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. So God is everywhere. God is with you. And thirdly, we see in the Bible that God is with us as a family as well. Jesus said in Matthew 18, for where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. Wherever there's a gathering of God's people together, God promises to meet us there in a special and unique way. So he's everywhere, he's with you, and he's with us. And so we greet him here today, knowing that according to his promise, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, is in our midst here this morning. This is our next installment of Good to His Word, looking at God's amazing promises for our lives. And what is His promise? That He's with us individually, and He's with us as a family here today. Now, if you really think about it, that is worthy of some pretty amazing words like, that's brilliant, that's great, that's fantastic, that's excellent, that's awesome. And maybe you're thinking, yeah, it's good, Pastor. Thank you. I've been hearing that my whole life. I'm not sure I would say brilliant or great or fantastic or awesome, but it is good. Well, I think it's better than that because of what used to be and what God had to do to change it so it is that for you and me. You see, in Isaiah 59, it says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Isaiah is saying that, you know, when do you call out to God the most? When you're in trouble, right? When you need him. And he's saying God has all the power necessary to help you out when you're going through a tough time. But why aren't you seeing him come through for you? Why does it seem like your prayers aren't getting through? It's because you no longer are close to him. You are separated from him, a long distance. Why? Not because God wanted that, but that is the result of our sin. That's what our sin does. It separates us from God. He still has all the power to help us, but if he's all the way over there and we're all the way over here, he can't help us. And if he's all the way over here and we're all the way over here, he can't even hear us when we call out to him. That's the result of our sins and our thoughts and our words and in our actions. There have been lots of pictures that have been made to try to understand this point that Isaiah is making, that there's an extreme gulf that stands before God and us, a gulf of sin. And it tells us in Ephesians 2 what God did to bridge that gulf. It says, I remember that at that time you were separate from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship in Israel, and you were foreigners to the covenants of the promise. You were without hope, and you were without God in this world. Boy, those are harsh words. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's what Jesus did for us. Hanging on that cross, he bridged the gulf between us and God. And now St. Peter puts it this way, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you back to God. How did Jesus do this? Well, Pastor Ryan read this just a little bit ago in our gospel lesson. It said about 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice from that cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Here's our very important point of the day. Jesus took all of your and my sin that caused that separation from God, and he took it all upon himself when he was hanging on that cross. He endured the separation so that you and I would never have to. When Jesus was up there on that cross, and he said, where are you? Why have you left me? Why have you forsaken me? He actually was experiencing separation from God. Why? Because all of that sin that separates from God was on his shoulders. Why did Jesus take all of that sin on his shoulders? So that you and I would never, ever have to experience what he experienced that day. Because Jesus paid for all that sin once and for all, now God can say to you and me, the sin is paid for. There's nothing separating us any longer. And now I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always to the very end of the age because of what my son Jesus did for you. Now do you understand why we can use words like amazing, brilliant, great, fantastic? That's not how it used to be. And God went to great lengths to make sure that we would be with him forever. Ah, that's good. Now, maybe you're asking this question. Okay, well, I get it. I understand theologically now, Pastor. But why can't I always feel God's presence? Maybe you've asked that question. You say, well, I know what the Bible says. I know that it says that he would never leave me nor forsake me, but there are times it really feels that way. Well, first of all, never base your faith on your feelings. Base it on God's word. Our feelings are fickle. We can't always feel God, but just because we can't feel him doesn't mean that he's not there. In fact, as we have been saying over the last several weeks in our sermon series, God is good to his word, always. And so if he says, I will never leave you, I'll be with you always, I'll never forsake you, then you can take that to the bank, even if your feelings don't agree. But maybe you're saying this, but you know, okay, I get it. But there are some times I just really need to hear from God. There are some times I just really need to know that he's there. I believe it in my head, but sometimes I just have to experience him. If you've ever felt that way, we all do. We all do. And yes, there are going to be times where God is going to say to you, trust me. I need you to learn how to trust me. I am there. I am available to you, even if you can't feel it. But God also knows that we're human. He also knows that we struggle sometimes, and sometimes we do need to hear from him. We do need to sense his presence. And that's where I believe our passage from James comes in here today. It says this, and it's speaking to Christians who God has already said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. Look at what he says. He says, come near to God and he will come near to you. That is as much a promise as all the other promises we are looking at as well. In Jeremiah 29, he says it this way, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. What a great promise. When I was out in New York, I had an elder that explained it kind of this way. Trying to find God is sometimes like playing hide-and-go-seek with a toddler. They hide, but they don't hide real well. And they want to be found. And that's God. God wants to be sought. And sometimes he wants to be sought more than a 2-minute prayer. He wants to really be sought. But you know what else God wants? He wants to be found. And so my elders sometimes described it as, if you're playing hide and go seek with a toddler, maybe you hide in the closet, but you leave your foot sticking out. and that's God. He wants to be sought. He wants you to come near to him, but he's not going to play hard to get. He wants to be found as well. So how can we draw close to God when you really need to hear from him? Well, there's a few ways. The first way is this: prayer. And I'm not talking about a 30-second prayer. I'm talking about really go after him. I've shared this before, and so I won't get into all of the details. If you want more, you can come and talk to me individually. But there was a time about 15 years ago or so that I really needed God. I was in a perilous condition with my health, and I just decided one day I was going to go and I was going to seek him until I found him, until I heard from him, until I got the help that I needed. And I remember even telling God, I'll stay here till a week from Thursday if I have to. I don't know why I remember that, but that's what I said to him. I'm going to stay here until a week till Thursday. And I called out to him and called out to him. And it felt like for the first hour and a half that I was just talking to the ceiling and there was nothing. There was no response. And everything within me wanted to quit. But I thought, I really need to hear from him. I'm not quitting. And so I continued to pray. I continued to seek him. I continued to listen. And at 2 hours, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, God spoke to me. And not only did he speak to me, but he took care of my health condition immediately. That's my experience. And I don't think that that is just for Pastor Clark. God wants to be sought. He says, come near to me, and I will come near to you. I found out that day that he is good to his word. And I have to admit, until that time, probably my longest prayer that I'd ever prayed was probably about 15 minutes. But I found that God is good to his word when you seek him with all your heart. Secondly, hearing or reading God's word. This is another way to draw close to God. Maybe you've found this as well, that when you're really seeking an answer from the Lord, if you get into his word, if you spend time seeking him in his word, oftentimes he will use those ancient words on the page to come right off of the page as a way of speaking to you in your situation that you're in. In fact, one of the reasons that I'm actually here in Buffalo and not still out in New York is because I got away one day with the Lord in a monastery in New York. And I was calling out to him, and I was in the middle of reading through his word, and the words popped off the page, and I knew that God was saying, it's okay. You can go. These are ways that we can draw close to God in prayer, in hearing and reading God's word. If you come near to him, he comes near to you. And then thirdly, in worship. I think about the times that I've heard from the Lord, and so often it's right around those times when I'm spending time with the Lord in worship and in praise. A couple of times a year, I always get away for a day just to go to a cabin, and I bring the following things. I bring a pencil and a notebook. I bring my Bible and I bring my guitar. And I just spend about 24 hours with the Lord. And you can do that too. You don't have to go to a cabin. You can go to your basement. You can go to an Airbnb, wherever. If you really need to hear from the Lord, draw near to him and he draws near to you. And as I spend time worshiping him and praising him and seeking him in his word and praying and writing down what I believe he's saying, oftentimes it'll be during that time that I'm just worshiping him that all of a sudden he meets me there. God knows that we're human. He knows that sometimes we really just need to hear from him. And he's promised to meet us in that special place. Remember, it's not like he's coming from a long distance away. He's already with you. But he manifests his presence in such a special way when we seek him with all of our heart. I think this is what he's talking about in Psalm 100, where it says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." When we go before him, worshiping him and praising him for all that he is and for all that he's done, it's like we're entering right in to his throne room of grace. Remember those old radios where you have to tune it by turning the dial? Maybe you turn the radio on and the first thing you get is a bunch of static, right? And as you just turn that little dial little by little, all of a sudden you start hearing broken English or a broken song. But as you continue to turn it, all of a sudden you're hearing it perfectly. You see, I believe that God is always speaking to us. In fact, God wants to speak more to us than we want to hear from him. But because there's so much static in our ears from the world out there and from all the worries and all the impure thoughts and all the other things that are going on inside of our head, sometimes it takes a little while to turn the dial so that we can hear him beyond all of the static. And that's where things like extended prayer, extended reading in his word, worshiping him and praising him, that's where that comes in. All of a sudden, you start to hear that still small voice of the one who's always been with you and has always wanted to speak to you. This whole week, just as I've been praying about this message, I was thinking about the prodigal son. He went off and squandered all of his father's hard-earned money. There was a plenty of static of the world in his ears. But he realized, I need more than that. I need my father. And so what did he do? He started making his way back to his father. But his father, who loved him, had been looking for him. And it says, so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. That's our Heavenly Father. That's our Heavenly Father. That's the one that leaves his foot in the door, right? That's the one that says, draw near to me, and I'm going to run at you. I want to speak to you. I want to help you. This is why Jesus came, so that I could do life with you. That's the love of our Heavenly Father. In Psalm 21, the psalmist says, surely you have granted him unending blessings, and you've made him glad with the joy of your presence. What a great phrase that is. The joy of God's presence. That's what he wants you and I to experience. This is why Jesus went to the cross, so that he could be with you, so that he could be with us, and so that he could show himself to us when we really need him. And God's good to his word. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.